Republic Yemeni number one.
Okay, Joe Rogan. Okay, Mr. Alpha Male. Dude, I can't. I choke on burnt toast. I can't have that. I have burnt toast and I'll start choking immediately. I can't. Dude, the.
Dude, yeah.
I'm going to die from the secondhand smoke.
Yeah. We out here, bro. Yemeni's taking over, son.
Do you taste the flavor when you smoke a cigar? Do you taste? Do you?
What do you mean, do I taste it? You're asking, like you're asking, like, if I don't have, you're saying that you think I don't have taste buds or some shit?
No, like, but do you
taste? Oh, shit, I just burned myself.
Yeah, all right. This is why smoking's bad for you, everybody, because when you smoke cigars and cigarettes, people are like, oh, does it damage your lungs? No, it ruins your yellow.
Ask me that ashtray up there.
Oh, you have an ashtray? Where?
Right up there. You'll see that little square thing. Yeah. That thing.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyways. This is why you don't smoke, everybody, because it will burn your clothes.
Ahmed Al-Qadri's a pussy, bro.
No, I don't like smoking because I like good lungs. I like healthy. I want to live forever. I'm sorry.
You smoke weed.
I don't smoke weed anymore. I do weed, but I take edibles. I take edibles. It's good for your lungs, everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the donation. Thank you, Silver Moon Song. I appreciate it. But yeah, that's what I do. It's so...
I'm getting gifts. What does gifts find?
You're such an old fuck.
I never use this.
Mike, when you get gifts on TikTok, that means people are giving you money. All right?
What? But where's the money going? I don't have anything set up. Hey, everybody. Public Yemeni. In the house, Mike Eshak with my good friend, the hilarious Ahmed Al-Qadri.
Awesome.
You know,
let's
give it up for my boy.
We just played the DJ air horn for the people who are not
If you guys are on the TikTok live stream, stay on this too. But then also go to MikeFromDetroit.com and you can watch this live stream.
Let me try the cigar.
No, you just said you fucking didn't want to smoke, bro.
I don't.
But you just sit there and you sit there and you made me feel bad about smoking cigars.
Let me try one.
It's all of a sudden I lit the cigar.
But would it make me look cool?
And you became my mom.
Would it make me look cool? Guys, if I smoke a cigar, would y'all think I'm cool?
He smokes weed.
Yeah, but I take edibles. I don't like smoke.
You smoke?
Yeah. But like I take edibles. Okay, let me try it.
No.
Just once.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways.
You're not alpha enough.
All right. Hello, everybody. My name is Ahmed Al-Qadri, and this is my friend Mike Eshak, and we're going to be co-headlining together in Detroit, Michigan.
Yes, right? Yes.
It's going to be great. Detroit, Michigan is a very nice city, and also known as Motown, I think.
Motown.
This is the first time I'll be hanging out in Detroit this weekend. I fly out tomorrow morning. When do you fly out?
I fly out Saturday morning.
You fly out Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm keeping it very like short weekend.
You're making a short trip.
Because I'm doing Ha Ha Comedy. I'm hosting the Ha Ha Comedy Club, 8 p.m. North Hollywood this Friday.
Okay, let's promote.
Shut the fuck up.
Anyway, speaking of which, I'm gonna be in Dallas, Texas, October 22nd as well. So if you live in Dallas, Texas, you want to come to my show. But anyways, how's your day, bro?
My day's been pretty good, man. I'm sober now. I'm not smoking any weed. I'm not drinking anymore.
Yeah.
My cat is here.
Hey,
bring the cat up on the podcast.
Head up. Come on.
No, pick him up. Pick her up.
I can pick her up?
Yeah, she'll let you. Yeah. Hey, everybody, look at my cute ass cat.
All right, so we got a Himalayan cat.
Shaped like a baby lion.
I know.
She doesn't like being held too much, but you know. That's right.
There it is. All right, so this right here, what's the name of your cat?
Her name is Sky.
Hi, Sky.
Because she's got all the colors of the sky.
Look at Sky. Hey, say hi, Sky.
Hi, Sky.
She's not.
Hey, face her at this camera so everybody can see at this camera too.
Oh, okay. Wait.
Ahmed is only. No, this camera, motherfucker.
Oh, this camera.
Oh, my God. There
you
go.
I'll focus more on the podcast.
Yeah, please.
All right. There you go. Okay. Anyways, your cat's adorable.
She's so adorable. Look, she loves you.
Oh, now she likes me.
She really likes you.
Come on.
She really likes you, bro.
Yeah. I used to foster cats.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I fostered cats for 3 years.
Look at that. She's all over you, bro.
Yeah, she's on my lap now.
There is no other... Every other guest I've had here, she's never done that.
Yeah. I am.
You know what that means?
What?
You're a pussy.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, you're not allowed to have this, bro.
Hey, hey, Mike, you are what you eat, huh?
Oh, 1980s comeback, bro. I'm so proud of you, bro.
Thank you, Habibi.
I'm so proud
of
you. Anyways,
no, I've, what's going on? No, I fostered cats for about 2.5-3 years.
Oh, okay.
I had 5 cats at one point.
In your house?
Wallah.
Was this when you were living with your mom?
No, this was when I was living in Dallas, Texas. I had my own apartment.
Okay.
And I, yeah, all I did was did stuff, and then
what's the stuff?
I worked as an accountant.
What's the stuff?
I can't say it on TikTok.
Why?
It's part of my stand-up. You'll know more, but I'll talk more about it through. Oh, is it okay if I could just like shift the camera a little bit down so they could see more of Sky?
Sure, you can change the camera. Wait,
can you do it for me? Because Sky's on my lap. Just make it down a little bit. Yes, perfect, perfect. Okay, good. So, anyways. So I used to foster cats, and at one point, I found under the car, one I found in a gutter after a rainstorm.
Okay.
And I would clean them up, spend money on,
right,
like, you know, fleece medication. So I'd go to Target and buy whatever cat shit that Target offered, and I'm like, all right, here's flea medicine, here's whatever. Clean up the cats, and then I'd find them a new home.
So hold on a second. So you had 5 cats in your house.
Yeah.
No girls coming over.
No, I had girls coming over.
Damn.
Rarely.
Did it smell? Did it smell? Like 5 cats, I can only imagine it like.
I'm gonna be real with you. I think at what I stopped having girls stopped coming over because
they thought you were gay.
No, because they because of the smell. The smell was so bad, but I didn't notice.
Okay.
Because I was so used to the cat smell. But I had like really good cat litter, and I would clean up the poop very easily. But there were times it would smell, but not all the time. Like,
yeah.
I tried my best to keep it clean. I'm just like you. I'm kind of a clean guy. You keep your apartment very clean.
Fairly clean. Like right now, it does need to be cleaned up. But
I'm the same way.
I every so often, I'll get cluttered.
Uh-huh.
Right, things will be left out and stuff for a while, but for the most part, I pick it up every once in a while.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so 5 cats, bro.
Had 5. Well, not that was the most I've had, but most of the time, I always had like at least 2 or 3 cats. I had 2. I own 2 of them, and then I always had one that was just like.
I love cats so much,
dude. Me too.
Cats, I love cats so much.
I love dogs. Don't get me wrong.
I love dogs too.
You want to know a fun fact? So Los Angeles is the number one dog city in the world. Back in 1872, there was 6,000 people, 4,000 dogs in Los Angeles.
6,000 people, 4,000 dogs.
West Hollywood.
When was this?
This is in 1872. In West Hollywood, right now, in West Hollywood, they have the most concentrated, most dogs per person.
Yeah.
As in more, it's more than one dog per person.
You know, but the thing is, man, but the dogs out here are pussies. They're like in strollers and shit.
Okay, well, okay.
Like I don't know if you guys know this, but out here,
they will
take their dogs and put them in strollers.
Yeah,
like dogs are gonna evolve to not have legs anymore. They're not even gonna need legs anymore. You know,
the small ones, yeah. But those because
big dogs or small dogs.
I like a big dog.
I like small dogs. I like
medium sized golden doodles.
Oh, golden doodles are pretty cute.
Himalayan.
The owner of the Ha Ha Cafe guy has a golden doodle. It's like a big, biggish, medium-sized dog, and it's got like the curly hair and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's got like Afro-ish type golden, like colored hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're nice dogs.
There is, have you seen Monty Gear's dog?
No.
It's the cutest golden doodle you've ever met.
Really?
Wallah. I have pictures of it.
I like small dogs. I look like a type of guy that would have a big dog.
Yeah, a big pit bull.
Like I look like I should have a pit bull. Well, I look like I fight pit bulls.
Yeah.
You know? But no, I like the small dogs. I don't know what it is, man. Like little tiny, man, I don't know.
So cute.
Like dogs the size of that cat, man.
But the thing is, small dog, this is what I don't like about. I like medium-sized big dogs and cat because I'm such a cat person. I love just grabbing Sky, grabbing a cat and just here. Get over here and let me just pet you.
She loves you. You see how much she loves that?
She loves, right? Small dogs, I can't do that. And small dogs, that's all I want to do. I want to just grab them and just be like, get over here. You know what I mean? Like, love me, you know?
Have you ever?
But I can't do that. I can't do that with small dogs. I could do that with medium size and big dogs. They're down. they're down for the loving.
Well, the small dogs are not.
They're always like they're always barking back at you.
They're skittish.
They're skittish. They're scared.
Not all small dogs, man.
And speaking of which, in Los Angeles, this is a fun fact for everybody here. In Los Angeles, the number one dog breed in Los Angeles is Chihuahua. Number two is Golden Retriever. Number three is Labrador Retriever. Number four, Pitbull.
Man, you know a lot about dogs.
I know a lot about LA facts or just facts.
Okay, spit us another one.
Did you know why the LA River is covered in cement?
I didn't know the LA River is covered in cement.
Well, it's not covered in cement. It's enclosed in cement because even though our climate doesn't like it's impossible to have floods, we would have floods every 50 or so years. But somehow in the 1930s, they had two floods, one in the early 1930s and one in 1938, a flood so big, millions of dollars in damages. Thousands of people died in this flood. So then the mayor at the time worked with the National Guard, came in, and they enclosed the whole, they built the whole cement around the LA River.
A dam?
Yeah.
Or did they put cement in it?
Have you been to the LA River?
Not really. That's not like a place I'm like, hey, let's go to the LA River.
Yeah,
you
know?
Let's check out the LA River. I want to see the cement.
Yeah. Let's go
check. Have you been there?
And watch homeless people. Yeah.
Why?
I do bike tours.
Oh, rides. You do bike tours. That's right.
That's why I know a lot of facts.
Yeah, but it's nice.
It's fun. You want to know a funny story?
Sure.
Okay. So this is a good story. So I'm giving a bike tour and we're on Biona Creek, which is the bike trail that's going down the LA River, right?
Okay.
And we start in Marina Del Rey and we're shooting all the way to Culver City. So it's a 6-7 mile stretch.
Right.
Okay. So as you're going down the LA River, the water's going down. Now, there's less water. There's more homeless people, homeless tents and everything because the homeless population in LA is so fucking bad. So they like living in the LA River, like under the bridge area. Okay. So it's me and it's a group of people. And at one point, I make a stop because I was going to like talk to them about like some facts and like the LA River, the cement fact I just told you. I see a homeless man beating a homeless woman. Like, I guess they're in a dispute or whatever, right?
Like hitting her.
He wasn't hitting her. He's grabbing her. Like, he's grabbing her by the head.
Okay. You said beating, you know.
Okay, hold on. Let me tell you why. So he was like, how fucking dare you stab? Because she stabbed him. So she stabbed him and he's grabbing her, like holding her. And then I'm like, I'm yelling down and I'm calling the cops, which I was. I was like, I'm calling the cops. Let her go. Leave her alone. Like, step away. But they were too far away for me to like jump over the, I'm not going to jump over the fence, cross the river and try to like, you know what I mean? So I have to like be at a distance. So I'm yelling. Other people are like yelling at this guy. I start calling the cops. By the time he's holding her and he was like, how dare you stab me? And he's like yelling crazy stuff. She's yelling back at him. And then he like throws her down, right? And she's like, oh. She's yelling. And then we're like, stop. Right before he was going for a hit, the cops pull up. And then they come in and they're pointing like a gun at him. He puts his hand down. And then like they handcuff her. They handcuff him because it's like, it's a crazy dispute. I guess they're, I don't know.
I thought you were going to say you got over there and then the homeless people were like, Ahmed loves bread. We love you, man.
That is my demographic, you know, homeless people that live in the LA River. So anyways.
I would have been the best. I follow you.
So it gets better.
He's got an iPhone 14.
Yeah, right. I'm like, how do you have an iPhone 14?
Where do you charge this?
Where do you get this? So then, so cops are everywhere. I go and give the statement and then I go back to my tour. Right. My tour, they also like one of them calls the cops and they're also with me yelling like at the homes. So I give my statements. Right. So I had this tourist that came by himself, this mom and her two kids. And one of the kids, it was so funny. He was cracking jokes the whole time, but he just says the darkest joke. He looks at me and with a serious face, he goes, Mike, he goes, is it a domestic violence dispute if they don't have a home?
That's hilarious. That's funny.
This is right after I gave the statement he says this kid. Bro, and I'm dying of laughing. I was like, yo.
And you're like, you should go to an open mic, kid.
And I was like, this kid is funnier than anybody.
You should do stand-up.
I was like, oh my God.
I would quit stand-up right there. I'd be like, forget this shit.
Yeah, that's hilarious. And anyways, it was like the most wild thing ever. Dude,
what is this accept thing? Somebody says, I want him to accept. Oh, they want to get live with you.
No, they want to go live and talk. No, we don't want that.
We can't do that right now.
But I want him to accept. There's too many accepting. No more accepting, Anjad.
Anjad.
Yeah.
Everybody who's listening, this Sunday. This Sunday, October 9th, 7 p.m., in Detroit, Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. If any of you guys are in the Michigan area, come on out. We would love to have you there. Continue with the story.
No, that's the end of the story of what the kid said. But I have a lot of like bike tour stories that I'm going to talk about on stage. But I like being a tour guide. It's fun.
You like? I bet you it gives you a lot of stories, bro.
It gives me a lot of material.
Yeah.
I like just doing random jobs. They're just random side gigs. But they're just... Listen, the best way to be a good comedian is to live life.
Yeah, and also to suffer.
And suffer. But also live life, you know? Live, like, do things, meet new people, mm-hmm. have stories.
Yeah.
That's what brings, you know,
yeah. good... Yeah, get, you know, like, chicken grease on your shirt.
Bro, you killed it on the chicken, though. That's yeah. why.
The air fryer killed it. I didn't do shit.
Bro, that's a good air fryer. I should invest in an air fryer.
Yeah, that one's good, man. I'm so far, it's been good, but, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
By the way, is there an echo? Do you guys are hearing? Oh, thank you so much for the gift, Silver Moon Song. Now, that's very nice of you. Silver Moon Song gave me gifts. I love that. Hey, what's up, Tayyaba? What's up?
I have no idea what this gift thing is. I never use this live thing on TikTok.
People are giving me gifts.
Money?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're sending money, but we only get like a percentage of it. You could Venmo me. I'm at 69420.
You can Venmo me, Mike from Detroit. I'm Mike from Detroit on everything. Instagram, Twitter, Pornhub. Holler at your boy, Mike from Detroit.
You have a Pornhub? Oh, wait, we can't say that old flag on TikTok.
Really?
I think so.
Just by saying porn?
Just say P-Hub.
P-Hub.
Yeah.
Man, it's like that.
Bro, Cornhub. Say corn.
Cornhub. Yeah, Cornhub, guys. You know what I'm saying? We're getting sexy with corn. One thing that blows me away, bro, is how like everything, like I thought the future was going to be more open and instead it's becoming more restricted now.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean like the fact that you can't say Cornhub.
It's because,
you know what I mean?
TikTok is a Chinese company, so they're very restrictive on lots of things.
They're doing that a little bit on Instagram too, though.
Well, Instagram and YouTube, it's more what they're trying to monetize. They're trying to make money. So it's not necessarily flagging you or by community guidelines or anything.
They just want to make sure that
it's more leaning towards advertisers. So it's like even YouTube's a lot. I mean, they're getting so much better with because they get, you know, even when you upload a video, it's like, is this made for kids? You know, just switching no already puts you in a filter for advertisers. Dude, that's the whole thing with media, with content. What's running this whole thing? We're in a creator economy. It's all money.
Of course, everything's always money. It doesn't matter, man. Everything is all money. It's not just now. It's always been like that.
It's oh, exactly. So this whole thing with the whole restrictive, you could say, you really can, but it's all money. Even stand-up comedy, me and you, it's like when we do colleges and corporate gigs and stuff, we got to work clean.
Not always. I did a college degree. To me, honestly, I literally thought the future would be away from that. Like, you know, if you went back 10 years ago, I was predicting the future was going to be more and more open. Like, for example, back in the day, you couldn't watch network TV and somebody say the word shit. Now you can just say shit and shit is like a thing that they say on TV now. Yeah. You know?
Right.
And they let that pass. So then, like, to me, it's like, I thought as we would keep going, it would get to a point where sooner or later we can just use the F word. No one would say anything. But now I'm just like blown away, man.
Well, you don't have kids.
If I had kids, I'd be cussing at them too. I'm out of, bro. What are you talking about? Have you ever been around Lebanese people? All they do is cuss their kids out.
You know what's funny with Lebanese and Yemeni people? I mean, as in two Yemeni people, you could say fuck, motherfucker. Okay, you could say motherfucker, but if you say anikomuk, yo, hey, you're crossing the line.
Hold on a second,
if
though.
If you cuss in Arabic,
hold on a second, though.
I think that's
No. I have something to say about that.
Okay.
Okay. American curse words, they don't have the oomph that Arabic curse words have. So, for example,
in
English, it's motherfucker, right?
Right.
In Arabic, it's ananikumma. Right? Now, think about
it's
that.
This is funny.
But hold on a second.
Do you not see the comedy in it?
But hold on. This is the comedy. This is what I'm saying, okay?
Yeah.
So, like in English, it's motherfucker. So, when you're thinking motherfucker, I'm in my 40s.
Right.
Majority of the women I get are mothers. I am a motherfucker. How is that a bad thing? All you're doing is calling what my life is. Right?
But you're labeling.
But Ananik Ummak, it's telling you, go, I'm going to fuck your mother.
And then it's cultural. It's so detailed.
I'm going to find your mom.
And fuck her.
And then I'm going to do.
Yeah.
That's worse.
Sky, are you okay? Okay, Sky was hitting the wires. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know?
But also, to me, they're just words. As a stand-up, it's like, I want to go on stage or say it as a comedic sense. I want to say it in comedy. But it's like, in the context of comedy, I want to say that word.
Ananikumak.
Yeah. Like, when I'm doing an impression, so I...
Or how about in Lebanese, that's a kesemak.
Woo-woo, 40s. Yeah.
But let me see. Agreed is more... It's more in other
languages. Yeah, I agree. Okay. All right. But hear me
out. They agree, right?
But I'm doing an impression. Okay. Because I was doing an impression of a Yemeni guy. Okay. You've heard this, Zog. You know that joke I do when I go, why do Yemeni men, when they're angry, before they're like as like a tactic when they're fighting to psych you out, they do this thing with their tongue. They do this. Like, this is my impression of a Yemeni guy that's trying to find you. Like, yeah, yeah, nikum.
I don't get that. What is that?
Right.
My mom did that.
Yeah, my mom.
My mom would be like, she'd get mad at me. She'd be like, yeah. And she didn't even was born in Yemen, but she's Yemeni, born in Indonesia, but it's in the genes.
Yeah. Every Yemeni person, when they're, yeah, and then, like, and I was like,
what is that?
That's such a terrible fighting tactic. Because what if
somebody uppercutted you, there goes your tongue. There goes your tongue.
Right. And your tongue is like your most, it's a strong muscle, dude.
It also grows back.
Your tongue grows back? No, it doesn't.
Well, I don't think it grows back.
Someone Google that.
It heals.
Does your tongue grow back?
Hey. It's one of the fastest healing organs in your body.
Okay.
Like whenever you cut your mouth or whatever, you cut your tongue or whatever, it heals super fast.
Dude, nothing angers me more than cutting the roof of my mouth.
Oh my Lord. Because I like eating salt vinegar chips. Once that thing happens, I can't have those for a month.
Dude, one time I had a friend who burnt the roof of his mouth, bro.
Burnt it?
Like,
how the hell did he get fire in there?
No. He ate something hot.
Oh.
Like he
he must be a white guy. That's like a European problem. They can't handle the spice.
No, Habibi.
Let's get his 23andMe.
Habibi, not spicy, dude. I'm talking about hot and temperature.
That's what I said. How did he get fire in there? You're like, no, it wasn't fire.
No, I'm talking about really hot.
I'm fucking with you. It's so easy to get this guy to be like, what? Wait a minute.
What are you talking about?
Your liver grows back. Okay.
The liver grows the fastest. The liver grows That's back. Right. But the tongue also... As a matter of fact, yes, the liver grows back, and that's where.
What about people with liver cirrhosis? Damn, you really hit your, you fucked up your livers that much.
That much. That's the thing. The liver comes from the word live.
Uh huh.
It's one of the most miraculous organs. That one does grow back. You're right about that. That's right.
Wait,
but I mean the tongue, I think, is the fastest healing. So like, it won't grow back, but it'll heal very fast. I had my tongue pierced back in the day.
No way.
Yeah, when I was in the Marines, this is like in the 90s, I was in the Marines, and we was in Myrtle Beach, and we were driving, in this really, really weird van. Like this guy named Lynch had this really, this van that is, that his uncle gave him.
Yeah.
It looked like a pedophile van.
Yeah.
And we're trying to pick up girls in this. So all the Marines that were sitting in the, all the Marines that were sitting in the back of the van, there was no windows.
Yeah.
Right. So then we'd be driving down the strip and everything. We can't even look out the window. Right. And then Lynch would be like, oh, look at those girls over there. And then we open the sliding door. And then like 20 Marines would be like, hey, baby, what's happening? It's like it never worked. But the we were driving and these girls were in front of us. And they were in this Jeep. And I remember I was like, I was getting sick of being in this pedo van. So as soon as I saw the girls, I jumped out of the van and I got in the back with the girls and everything. And, you know, I was young and I don't know when you remember you're young, you want to impress women.
How old were you?
Man, 19. Oh. I was 19.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to impress women.
Bro.
You right? And then I thought the, a way to impress them was to get my tongue pierced. And that was because while I was going down the strip, a girl was passing by us and she stuck her tongue out like this and like this and like that. She had a tongue ring and I was like, whoa. And I looked at that and I was like, where'd you get that? She's like, you can go to any tattoo place. And I went and got my tongue pierced while I was in the Marines, when you're not allowed to have that in your fucking mouth. So when you're in uniform, they catch that, you're in fucking big trouble. So for about 1 year, I had a tongue ring in my mouth. And when they did it, man, my tongue got so big for like 3-4 days. It was terrible, bro. But I had a tongue ring, man. Yeah.
Wow.
I also had my dick pierced.
Yeah, really? Wow, you had an Albert?
I had an Albert.
You had a Prince Albert.
I still have it.
Really?
I still have a Prince Albert. The hole doesn't close there.
I'm learning so much about you.
This is what happens when you grow up with a father that restricted you all the time. Yeah,
clearly.
My father really...
Someone said, is that Dan Bilzerian? That is Dan Bilzerian. Where? Wow.
Who's Dan Bilzerian?
You.
I'm the out of Dan Bilzerian, bro. What you know about that? No, wow. But then, yeah, then and then when I, and then like a couple years later, we were in Greece while I was in the Marines and I went and got a Prince Albert. Wow. And the reason I got it was because I had a girlfriend at the time in North Carolina and she was kind of a freak.
Come on, Sky.
And she wanted to, she always told me, she was like, I always wanted to know what that was like.
Yeah.
To have sex with a guy that had his pecker pierced.
Wow.
And I was adventurous and I got it done. But it's not, but the one I got is not through the shaft.
Yeah.
It's under the frenum.
Okay. That makes sense.
So like at any point I could put something in there. I haven't put something in there in so long.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow. That's.
It's so funny. You're like, I'm learning so much about
you. Yeah, I know. Smoking cigars and piercing. The things you I do just start- to impress girls. Dude,
I'm not doing the cigars to impress girls.
I'm sitting here like, you know, I don't know. What have I? I know I've done lots of things, dumb things to impress women, but I can't really remember. Oh, you know, be throw my life away and become a stand-up comedian. I think that's one. That's a good one.
I wanna start another podcast. I told you about this. No, just about this sex
is
and relate.
This is Mike's cat, Sky.
Yep, that's my cat. If you go on my page on TikTok or on my Instagram, you can see a video that I made with my cat called Gold Digger Kitty. I want to start another podcast.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking about it. Or I might change the name of this podcast, but I want to do a podcast from the perspective of a sex positive Muslim.
Right.
Right. Because when I grew up, man, I don't know about you. Did you have any hang-ups about sex when you were growing up? Like, I mean, because you grew up conservative in Yemeni?
I mean, I was never like... I never really was.
Did your parents ever make you feel bad about sex or, you know, like, don't talk to girls or, you know?
It was more, yeah, I mean, they didn't really have to, they never had to give me the talk. I never got the talk about my parents.
I don't know. I've never got the talk either.
They never gave me the talk.
My dad never gave me the talk.
My older brother literally, like, found, I remember, the first time I heard about sex, my older brother told me about it. And I remember my first reaction, I go, Mama and Baba would never do that. That's disgusting. I remember thinking.
You thought that your mom and dad would never have sex.
I would like.
Me too.
Yeah, I was thinking like when my brother, when my older brother, Mustafa, he came up to me and goes, you know what sex is? And he explained everything, what sex is. And then I was like, Mama and Baba would never do that.
Yeah.
It's
disgusting, right?
That's fucking gross.
You just.
Who would ever want to do that?
Just to think about it. How's this? I saw my mom and dad have sex when I was like 3 years old. And I think that's when they made my sister. So listen. I did.
But, oh, my God. But can this is not TikTok friendly.
Can I explain it? Can I explain it, though?
I'm shadow banned now. Let's do this.
Yalla. I'm gonna explain when I saw my mom and dad have sex, okay? This is from the mind of a kid who's 5 years old. And I think that's when my sister was conceived, to be honest.
All right.
So I think I saw my sister get made then. Anyway, so I woke up at night.
Do you hold on. Is your sister listening to this?
She's not. My sister's cool as shit, man. She's very. But anyway, so the point is that, and this is funny, okay? Yeah. I woke up in the middle of the night. And I remember hearing my mom. It sounded like she wasn't feeling good. I thought my mom had like she was sick. I thought she was sick.
Yeah, you know what? Men who have sex still think that. Men who have had sex, if they hear that noise, they'll be like, "That's not a woman orgasm. That's a woman being."
No, I know what a woman orgasm
I'm
is.
I'm joking. Okay, I'm saying the joke is men don't know about women
orgasm. Okay, so I got up. I was like 5 years old. I got up and I went in the thing and I opened the door.
Okay.
And my dad.
What position were they in?
My mom was riding my dad.
Oh my God.
Okay, but hold on a second. Hold on a second. You're embarrassed for me. It's hilarious.
It's not even embarrassing. It's more like I'm thinking of Khalto and Ammu like right now. Like Khalto and Ammu would never do that.
Yes.
They would never.
So, but this is how my young brain took it. Okay. I opened the door and I saw my mom sitting on my dad. Okay. And then they saw me and they're like, oh, right. And then my mom got up. And when she got up, this is how my 5 year old brain
processed
this.
Yeah.
As she was getting up out of my dad, it looked to me that my mom was taking a giant turd on my dad. and I said to my mom, I'm like, why are you pooping on dad? And what it was, you know, his brown.
You know, I remember a couple of days ago, I was like, have you ever thought about seeing a therapist?
Now you're judging me?
I'm not judging you whatsoever. That's fucking hilarious.
It is funny, right?
That's hilarious.
Come on, man.
But it's so funny. As a kid,
oh my God.
Didn't know what I was looking at. And when my mom was getting off of my dad.
Okay, I know. You just said it.
Yeah. I was like, why are you taking a poop on dad?
Someone just said, we're all
going to
share this trauma now.
Yeah. Guys, this is how we grow together. So I'm thinking about starting another podcast about sex and relationships.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to call it Sleeping with the Yemeni.
Uh-huh.
Instead of Sleeping with the Enemy, I think. And
Sleeping with the Yemeni. Okay.
And I don't know. I think that's something because I love talking about sex. I love being open about sex. I think a lot of people got hangups about sex. Like, but man, for so long when I was growing up, I thought only Arabs had hangups about sex. And in my mind, I was like, white people don't have hangups about sex, right?
No, everybody has.
Everybody has hangup on sex, man. A lot of people have these hangups about sex. For example, if you met someone who liked something that was kinky, it would make you uncomfortable.
Right.
I'm not like that. But I had to train myself. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And you know what's even worse? It's kind of affected our society in a sense where like everyone has a hangup on sex and it's like very taboo to talk about it, which is why it's very popular to talk about in stand-up comedy because you can't talk about it anywhere else, right? And I think it should be more open. It should be more open because the fact that people don't talk about it, especially with straight couples like men and women, they don't talk about it even on dates and dating. They don't talk about sex. I know.
I try to get the conversation going.
I know. But I'm saying they don't talk about it. And then when it comes to the bedroom time, there was no previous communication. And then it's just both of them have to be a fucking mind reader.
Or there's no communication during it.
Yeah, I know. And then next thing you know, it's like, I didn't enjoy it. Or the guy didn't enjoy it.
Or the sex wasn't good.
Or whatever. And it's like, well, yeah, y'all didn't talk at all about this, you know?
Whenever I'm like with a girl and I date, I always find that the second with the, because I'm communicate. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is for you, but very rarely you have sex with someone when you're in a relationship that the first time you have it, it is amazing.
Right.
Very rarely. I mean, it's good, right?
Right.
But once you start learning each other,
right,
when you start, and then that's when the sex gets, but a lot of that's communication.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't communicate. They have a hang up about communicating about
that. It goes back to, you know, like the way we're all raised. It's like you can't even talk about it on, back to money. You can't talk about it on TV. You can't talk about it on,
well, they content. Talk about it, like, on, like, TV.
We're talking about it right scenes. Now, and it's like, it's a big taboo thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not, I don't know. And people just get uncomfortable too, because it's such a, because sex is very vulnerable with people.
It is. But I, you know, that's why I want to start this podcast, because to me, it's like, if I can train myself to be more open and sex positive, anybody can. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, you're a man. No, women are, there's a lot of sex positive women on the podcast now. So like a man having sex positive, that'd be very interesting.
It's very interesting, because here's the thing though, because
you could get Mia Khalifa on there.
What? Ooh.
The Arab one.
Yeah.
The Lebanese born.
So she's amazing.
Like her career?
No. I mean, she's amazing. I mean, yeah. She's amazing in that she stuck to her guns. She's going to do what she wanted to do. Even though that she got the death threats, she still stuck with it. And then hold on. And then now, because she uses her platform to stand up for the Palestinians.
Yeah.
To stand up for Lebanon.
Stand up for Iran too.
You know, stand up for Iran. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And to me, I enjoy the Arab world accepting someone like Mia Khalifa, because I think the Arab world really needs to get to a point where we stop looking down on our women.
Right.
And stop restricting them.
Right.
And stop telling them that they have to be a certain way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just have a problem with that. That's not to say that if a woman wants to be conservative, that she shouldn't be conservative. That's not what I'm saying. Mm. What I'm saying is that we have this idea where we in the Arab world, is just like all women have to follow this thing. You have to be this way. You can't be sexual. You can't be open, you know?
It's going to take some time. But I think it's getting there. What Mia Khalifa said in Rami season 2, have you seen it, Rami?
I did see Rami season 2, yeah. So I didn't like it. I thought it was too woke.
It got a little too woke.
It was way too woke.
It was getting a little
too woke. The first season was perfect.
Yeah. So season 2, there's a point where she talks about how, like, the men who watch her are the men who wish her death threats.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah. It's usually people who, it's like your own people, even me, like as my own comedy or my own TikTok and stuff.
Well, how about, like, that video that I got about the kids are terrible?
Yeah.
Where I blame kids for pedophiles as a joke. And then someone in the audience goes, boo. Yeah. And I go, you didn't like that joke?
Pedophile.
You know what I mean? That's usually what it is. Like, if somebody doesn't like something, I'm like, you might be that thing.
Yeah. It's a good joke, actually. Yeah. I did blow up on Instagram too. I was going to say, like, kind of like my own, I don't know, just being a content creator and stuff, like, usually Arab men or Yemeni, usually Arab men are usually, like, they're my biggest lovers, but they're also my biggest haters. Like, I'll get messages or from messages to comments to whatever. I'll have, like, Arab men who are, like, getting so angry about, like, I had a joke about, like, you know, I had a masturbation joke that I posted, and it's like, how dare you? Or I had a joke about, oh, here's one. I had one where Ryan invited me to Christmas, and I put
Muslims. I saw that.
Muslims first Christmas, and then I gave him a Quran.
And you got a Nintendo.
I gave his brother. No, not the stand up joke. I said, I gave Ryan a Quran. This is on TikTok. So the video is my handsome Ahmed. Oh, I appreciate it. So, anyways, I gave Ryan a Quran. I gave his brother a prayer rug. I gave his dad dates for Ramadan. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, off screen, his mom is like, what did you get me? And I go, I got you a headscarf. And it cuts. So it's a really funny one.
That's funny.
Right. A lot of Arab men, like, or it was like, particularly Arab men, they hated it because they're like, why are you making jokes? Why are you, this is like, why are you celebrating Christmas? Why are you, like, why are you making fun? It's like, they clearly just didn't get the joke. I mean, I guess they were foreign.
Yeah.
I guess the jokes didn't translate as well. But then there were other Arab men who were American. Most of them American, but there were some like non-American Arab
men. You mean like
men.
Western?
Western.
Probably from Europe or whatever like
right,
that.
Right, right. Or just like a lot of Arab men. They're like, bro, that was fucking hilarious. You're so funny. I love what you're doing. All that stuff. Particularly Yemeni men. Like there's some, like the other day, a Yemeni guy is like, until you have no haya, like you have like qalilat adab, you know what I mean? Ill-mannered. But then literally the next day, I get a message from another Yemeni guy. He's like, hey man, I just want to say, I'm proud of you. I love what you're doing. Like, it's like keep going from one Yemeni to another, keep going as your career. So it's like, in the end, it's like similar back to what we were talking about. It's like, dude, just do what you love. Just do what you think is funny. Just do what you want.
That's what it is.
Right.
That's why I don't care too much about like what other people think. I do to a point. I mean, you can gauge a lot from caring about what other people think, but then you got to draw a line somewhere.
Right.
Like I just posted that video about Saudi Arabia. I go, Saudi Arabia let women drive.
Yeah.
Do you know the first woman in Saudi Arabia to get the first driver's license in Saudi Arabia? Do you know what she did when she got it?
What?
She drove the fuck out of Saudi Arabia. Right? So I posted that.
Yeah, that's funny.
And you had some people that were like, you fucking piece of shit. Why you fucking put it? And then I had Saudi Arabians. Like people in Saudi Arabia following me going, man, you're the best. I can't wait to see you live or whatever. So when it comes to humor, man, some people can take it. Some people can't.
Right.
You know?
And also, there are some people who just can't process jokes. Like the jokes go way over their head.
They legitimately
cannot. I don't want to say like on the spectrum or whatever, but like their house, they didn't grow up in funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Funny people come from funny households.
Bro, my or funny trauma. my household was traumatic and hilarious.
Yeah, right. Right.
Very funny.
Like same, like my family, we had our own like some issues in our household, like every other household, not as traumatic as other households, but we were funny people. Like yeah. we loved to laugh.
Well, I think laughter and comedy, that's why
such a comfortable chair, by the way.
Oh, good. I'm glad. That's why a lot of people who have traumatic backgrounds are the funniest people. That's why Palestinians are all hilarious. Every time I meet a Palestinian, they got a great sense of humor because they've been through some shit. So, for example, the reason why I'm a comedian is because in my household, you know, my mom and dad would fight a lot.
Right.
Right? There's a lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, and, you know, they really didn't get along. And while they were fighting...
Other than the time that you walked in on them.
Yeah, that was the one time they were having a good time.
Yeah.
And while they were doing that,
reverse.
My sister and I were making each other laugh.
Right.
To cope.
Right.
So while this terrible thing is happening in the house, me and my sister are trying to forget that that's happening and playing games with each other. And I'm trying to make her laugh. She's trying to make me laugh. So, you know, I think humor, the funniest people come from trauma. It's true.
Yeah. Richard Pryor, one of the funniest.
That's why I don't date stand-up comedians that are girls, because they're all fucking crazy. I'm not. I ain't playing with that.
I don't date comedians because I don't shit where I eat. But then again, I've never had. Have you ever had a female comedian like hit on you and like want to date you? I've only had it happen like once.
Once
or twice.
I haven't had. I mean, if I think about it, no. Yeah, I did. Yeah, a couple of times. A couple of times.
Probably more you than me.
No, but here's the thing. Aside from them directly hitting on me, I'm very good at reading. Signals. I've had very many girls that were quickly giving me the signals that I could make this thing happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It was just very obvious. Their body language, how they're talking to me and stuff like
that. Wait, so you know when a girl's flirting with you?
You don't?
No.
Let's break it down. Are you serious?
I think I don't. I think like I'm not good at picking up signals.
Okay, can I give you some? Like when a girl, can I give you some signals?
Like when a girl's flirting with me.
Here. Okay. Yeah. Aside from flirting.
Because there's so many times, I'm going to be honest, more than I can count on my fingers, so many times where in the past, a girl would be like, you know, I had a crush on you. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah. She was like, I made it obvious. I was like, no, you didn't.
Well, you're, I mean, you're, you're fairly young, man. You're going to get to a point where you're going to start to learn. I started catching on when I was like 32, 33. You know, that's when I really started realizing. But that's not the same. So here's some signals, okay?
Right.
Very, very quick signal that a girl likes you.
And then for the women watching, let me know if he's right. Go.
Okay. Well, sometimes they don't even know.
Really?
Sometimes you don't even know. Sometimes you don't even know that you're passing body language signals to the girl. A thing that a man does that a lot of people don't know is that you'll start scratching your wrist.
Holy shit.
You'll like really be nervous somebody and you start scratching your wrist.
I do this a lot.
That too. You want to know why? You know where that comes from?
Yeah.
Our ancient ancestors were apes. And if you look at monkeys, what do they do for each other? They help take each other's ticks out. So then when they show each other love, they're like, hey, I have, can you? And then they get on top of each other and then they go through each other's hair to get the ticks out. That's a show of affection amongst primates.
Really? Where'd you read this?
Oh, I've read it a long time ago in a book. I forget. But anyways, hold on a second. So that's a thing. I'll catch myself doing that sometimes. Sometimes I'll be like, whatever. And then I'll be like, oh, shit, man. I'm fucking sending the signals out, right? Even to like female comedians sometimes, right? Here's another thing.
Does this throw a signal for female comics when I do? Hey, what's up? You're so funny.
You're gay now. You're 100% gay now. That's the wrong signal. You're better off hitting her.
You're so funny.
No, here's another thing. And I'm sure you've seen this. Girls have done this to you.
Yeah. The hair thing.
Did you know that?
I've never had a girl play with her hair.
Oh, that happens to me a lot. That happens to me so much, especially with the female comedians, man. I'll be talking to like, especially when I first meet a female comedian.
Because the women I talk to wear hijabs, okay? No, I'm just kidding.
That's the end of the podcast.
You fucking kafir.
Here's another thing. Right. If you're in a group, right? Let's say you met a girl.
Okay.
She likes you. Mm-hmm. You didn't see this signal.
Okay.
You didn't see this signal.
Wait, right? Do girls scratch their
They do that too. They'll do that. They'll fidget. They'll fix their hair.
So they try
to make themselves look good in front of you.
So if a girl starts fixing her hair in front of me, should I be like, do you have lice? You want me to, and then I get a comb. I carry a comb with me everywhere. And then I'm like, let me get that lice off your head. What's the next one?
You blew my fucking brain, bro. What the fuck was that? Then the next one is this. This is another good one to pay attention to.
All right.
Okay. And especially since we hang out in groups and stuff.
All right.
Okay. Or after shows. Let's say you're hanging with a group. Somebody introduced you to a girl, right? The thing that really shows you that she is into you is, let's say somebody says something funny in the group, right?
Okay.
She will laugh, but look at you.
But I'm the guy that's usually saying something funny.
Okay, that's fine. But still, that's another good sign. But let's just say something else funny happens. Let's say her friend says something funny.
Or like someone fell or something.
Whatever, like whatever anything, it is. Anything, sometimes anything you're in a good conversation and people are saying things or whatever. And then if somebody says something that elicits a laughter and the girl starts laughing, like, so she's like, yeah, yeah. And then she's like,
oh. Yeah.
And you do it too and you don't even know. Those are signals. Those are signals to pay attention to.
Okay, let's role play, all right?
Okay.
You're the girl and I'm me.
Do not do the lice line.
The lice?
Don't do that.
Okay.
Okay.
It's just being...
I don't have any hair anyway, so...
I know. I'll get the ticks off your beard.
Okay,
something funny happened right over there. All right, ready?
Okay. All right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you and I are talking. We're in a big circle.
No, we're not. We're not talking. We're like we're looking at something else.
We're all talking.
Something is happening, right?
Oh my God, look at that.
She'll look at you. She will look at you while she's laughing.
So I have to look at her.
You don't have to.
Do I have to like stare at her like this?
That would work.
Okay.
She would zhuzh. She would instantly zhuzh.
Does smiling too much, is that a bad thing?
I don't know. I don't know if that's a... I don't know. I don't know. Is smiling... I think if you're smiling and it's a real thing, I don't think that's a bad thing. No.
Okay. Okay. All right.
You know what I mean? I think what you're saying is showing that you are
friendly.
That you're not only friendly. I think a lot of men have this idea.
Mysterious.
A lot of men have this idea where they think that a woman that you have to be a stoic alpha.
Right.
Right.
I
don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true.
I think a lot of guys get mixed up what alpha is.
I have no idea.
I was in the Marines, right?
Okay.
I've been around a lot of alpha guys, okay? The real alpha guys?
Alpha guys are like alpha guys. You know what I mean? I'm talking about when I say alpha, I'm talking about the guys who are just all talk. Like, they don't walk the walk. They're just all talk. Which is most...
No, I'm talking about real alpha.
Like guys, okay, who, no, like no. Guys okay. who proclaim they're alpha, okay, okay. I don't think they're alpha.
No. Hold on a second. Listen to me very carefully. And that's very true.
You're getting a brain fart. I'm sorry.
The people who are very alpha men, okay? Yeah. The guys that I've like served with that were real, real alpha motherfuckers, okay? Uh-huh. You know what they are? Charismatic, kind, confident, calm, charitable,
all right.
Nice. They have good leadership qualities.
Right.
They're the type of person that has like they're very alpha. And then let's say we're in a circle and we're all talking with people, right?
Yeah.
And then a new person comes up, and then that alpha person can tell that new person is kind of like afraid to get into the circle.
Yeah.
That person will take the leadership thing and be like, "Hey, so what do you think about this?"
Oh,
and
yeah,
bring okay, everybody bring in.
Circle. Yeah.
Alpha is a lot more.
Damn, I'm an alpha.
Dude, you are a lot more alpha than you think you are,
Ahmed. Guys.
Ahmed, you are, bro.
Yeah.
You are, because you do have those qualities.
Yeah, I appreciate it. No, she was saying to your hair thing.
What was she saying?
She said...
That's very stereotypical. Like, if they really want you to know, they'll do the hair thing. It's all very subjective. Sometimes you can tell if you're flirting when you're not.
That makes sense.
No, that's true. Sometimes, listen, you got to know how to read it. Sometimes girls just like playing with their hair.
Yeah.
But you can see there's other things. You can see there's more to their body language. Mm. Sometimes a girl is just playing with her hair. Sometimes a girl is trying to, some girls will play that game to try to get you to show that you like them and they don't want anything about you. They just want the attention. I'm sure that's happened to you. That's happened to me many times.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happens often.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Where a girl would literally approach you, try to get you to like her and just be like, no thanks, maybe. She just wanted the attention. So there are girls that know about that body language stuff, and then they'll play that to try to lure you into their trap so that they can be like, got him.
And then I'll say, but if I pick that up, I go, get away from me, you witch. And then I would be like, huzzah. And then I have Zemzem holy water with me. And then I try to, I douse her.
And then she just it's
kinda
burns.
Like a, it's kind of like a cat. I'm like, get out of here.
You got to train her. Don't do that anymore.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
Get off the couch.
Get off.
Get on my,
Yeah, I'm like, stop. Spray water.
Bro, we've been doing this for an hour already.
Okay, so there's two, the hair, and then she laughs and looks at you.
You're right, and then there's body language.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, they will lean in more to you when you guys are sitting and talking. You know, they'll come into your space a little bit more, you know.
Right.
They'll touch you when they laugh. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can notice. You know
what? I just want one of them to get ticks out of my head, and that's how I'll know.
Yeah, take it back to the ancestral ways.
Yeah, I've just been like, if a girl.
Do you hit on girls?
Nah.
You don't like approach women and hit on them.
I did that in my like 20s, my mid 20s.
Okay, like what is your idea of hitting on a woman?
I just go introduce myself to them.
Yeah.
I talk to them like a normal human being.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do my
I think thing. A lot of guys get, I used to get lost in the idea
I'm
that,
just
that,
more
that,
burnt out, if anything.
I used to have this idea where I thought that hitting on women was being like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know
no,
what I mean?
No, no.
That's not what it is.
It's literally just,
it's just talking.
Bro,
it's talking and then seeing if there's any interest.
My thing was after college, me and some friends, I was like, I just made it a duty, like to be like not to be afraid of approaching people.
Good.
And if there was like a group of girls, I would just go straight, like, hey, my name is Ahmed. Sometimes I would get the worst rejection ever.
Sure.
And I'll just chase. Not chase, but I'll just go introduce myself to people. And it's like, if it works out, it works out. But most of the time, it was just like, friendly stuff. But then again, like we just talked about, I didn't pick up if they did like me.
Yeah.
It was more like I'm just introducing myself to this person.
The best place to hit on women is at the Comedy Store patio.
Yeah.
It is one of the best places.
Or Target.
Target, because women love Target. Yeah. And they love grilled cheese sandwiches.
But I've never hit on a girl at Target. I've never hit on girls
at Target. I've hit on a girl at Target.
I've never hit on a girl at Target. I've never hit a girl at I've never hit a girl either. But I never hit on a girl at
I've hit a girl a when they asked me for it.
But at a gym.
You know, I've never hit on a girl at a gym. I take that back.
Yeah.
I just did it about 3-4 months ago.
At a gym. How?
Because I was trying to break myself out of that mindset. I wanted to see if I could do that. Because you know what? I was getting really frustrated with this idea of like, yeah, you don't hit on a woman at the gym, right? Yeah. Because it's a place where people want to just focus on themselves. Yeah. And you don't want to make it awkward, right? And then now they have to see you all the time after the rejection
or
whatever.
That's why I don't do it.
But I did it with this one girl, mm-hmm. right? I hit on her. I struck up a conversation.
Yeah.
And then after we started talking, I told her, you know, I thought she was cute. I would like to take her out. Actually, no. Now, I did not. I take that back.
Oh, yeah.
I saw her first running a register at a CVS. And then at there, I was like, you work out at my gym, don't you? And then I was like, what's your name? She was like, oh. And then when I saw her at the gym again, then I started talking to her again. So that's
different.
That was a little different.
That's context. I'm talking about point blank. You see a girl working out and you're like, I'm going to go hit on her.
Yeah,
I'm not.
I have a hard time doing that, but now I have the respect not to do that.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, I'm mad that I'm not doing that because those are the girls that I wanna.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm a fitness guy, and I like women that are fit.
But also, what you got to do is just stalk her and then follow her. I'm just kidding.
I think I've heard other people say the best thing to do is like maybe talk to them if they're outside of the
parking lot. Yeah. If it's like if they're not in the middle of a workout, they're outside. It's all like everything's context. Kind of like this, you saw her at a CVS or something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
and she shot me down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not.
Hold on, you got rejected.
I don't have any sad music. Oh, yeah.
Come on, man.
All I got is the Joe Biden, come on, man, sound.
Are you serious?
Yeah, bro.
You got rejected?
She rejected me, bro.
This is so sad. I'm sorry.
I know. I kind of want to kill myself right now.
No, don't say that, bro. We're live on TikTok.
I can't stand this TikTok thing. You can't even have fun.
Yeah, you can. You can say it. Just say unalive myself. There's lots of restrictions, but I'm so sorry you got rejected. But hey, you know, that's why you don't hit on girls at the gym.
We were just talking about something else before we did the gym thing. I feel like we didn't finish.
No, you were talking about flirting. You were talking about, so the signals is.
So you really don't know when a girl's flirting with you.
I mean.
So like after a comedy show, if a girl like hits on you. After a comedy show, it's a little easier.
Okay, here. This is what I think. It's when someone's hitting on me, I take it to what you said earlier. Is I usually go, is she hitting on me? Nah, or she just wants my attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I don't think.
I always heard the best thing to do is assume that she's attracted to you.
I'll read it later.
You know, just right. Assume that she's attracted to you is from what that's where I go. I do best when I meet women out in public.
Right.
Taco truck.
Yeah.
You know, at the grocery store.
Do you do well with dating apps? I haven't had dating apps since July.
I don't do too well with dating apps.
I haven't been on a date since July, actually.
I do okay with dating apps. To me, this is the thing. The dating app is not the main source. So to me, the dating app is like a vitamin. It's a supplement.
Yeah.
If I can meet a girl on there.
Yeah.
Because the handful of girls that I've met on there, man, I've had some really good times. Like I've met some really cool girls. And,
right.
And, you know, a few of them are still friends with me right now, you know?
Yeah.
So, but. I had to go through a plethora of trash to find these girls, right? And I think where guys get really frustrated, and I got frustrated too when I first started doing online dating, is that was the only source I was using.
Yeah.
And then it's like disheartening because you got people that catfish you, you know, the girl looks hot and then when you see her in person, she's fat. I'm like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that picture was from 10 years ago. Why'd you post that picture?
Yeah, I've been stood up before.
Did you hear, you know, Adam Hunter, the comedian Adam Hunter?
Yeah.
He's got a hilarious joke about that. He goes, I matched with this girl on Tinder. And then when I went on the date, she looked like nothing in her picture. And on the date, she goes, so what are you looking for? He goes, I'm looking for the girl in the picture.
That's a good joke.
That's a good joke. Adam Hunter's great, bro. I love that guy.
He was supposed to do my show, but he never. This is during the pandemic when I ran a park show.
Have you tried doing his show at the Dime? You should hit him up.
No, I'll hit him up. Yeah. I was supposed to do his show, but we follow each other on social media.
He's like a one hit. He's like a one liner.
Yeah, very big one liner.
Like
guy.
One of my favorite. But
I like a one liner.
Me too, because he's always quick. One of my favorite jokes is he's like, I was at a music festival the other day, and some guy walked up to me and goes, "You look like a cop," and I was like, "I'm not a cop. Look, I have weed." Turns out he was a cop.
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's a good one. No, honestly, besides dating, I'm not even like focusing on dating.
Well, look, right, it was recently,
back what we were talking about yesterday about like, yes. I'm not even trying to date.
Yeah, right.
I haven't been on a date since July. I don't even have dating.
I went on a date with this Moroccan girl about 2 days ago.
Oh yeah, I had to go.
It was okay. You know, one thing that I really appreciated about her.
Yeah.
Her pictures are online, or all her like in really done up, dressed up really nice, right?
Yeah.
We went on the date. She wore no makeup. She was in sweatpants and a hoodie.
Nice.
She was going to be playing a soccer game afterwards.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was like, when I saw her, I literally, the first thing I complimented for her, I was like, you're pretty. And I go, thank you for showing me your real face. Do you know what I mean? Because it was nice. I looked at her. I'm like, I like how you look, Yeah. You know what I mean? Sometimes you go on a date with a girl and then she does it all up. Like, she got the eyelashes
and like
stuff.
It's like that Drake song. He was like, sweatpants with no makeup on. Yeah. That's what you were pretty as. I hope you don't take it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Drake, he understands us.
Dude, so Drake, radiallahu anhu, said, Prophet Drake said.
But yeah, so yeah. Like, I went on a date with her.
Where'd y'all go? Was it just food date?
She's rich. She's like a real estate.
Lock her up. No, lock her up. Lock her down.
Lock her
down.
Lock her up. Lock her up.
So, wow, just switched one word. Yeah, don't lock her up. Lock her down.
Hit her.
Yeah.
No, hit on her.
Hit on her. Yeah, don't hit her. Hit on her.
Hit on her.
Yeah.
On her head.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Saad's joke where he goes, I will fuck you so hard.
Yes.
It's like, no, it's fuck up. I will
just
fuck,
add the up.
Just add the up. Fuck you up.
It changes
so
up. It changes everything.
Changes everything.
I will fuck you so hard. No. Fuck you up so hard.
Right, right.
I love Saad. No, but I went on a date with her. She's pretty. Yeah. She's fit.
Yeah.
She's a real estate agent and she flips homes.
Oh, that's really cool.
She flips like two homes a year. She makes about $2 million a year. And I am also in real estate.
Yeah,
right?
This is good to tell everybody
I have 14 rental properties in Michigan.
Oh yeah, y'all are both in real estate.
We're both in real estate.
Yeah.
So I have 14 rental properties that are in Detroit, and you know, generating income. And she was like, you know what you really should do? She goes, you really should just flip one home a year in LA if you have that money. She goes, I can show you. And that, like, already I'm like, yo, man, if me and this girl like actually make it, we could be a power couple.
Bro, y'all will be those Selling Sunset.
Yeah.
Like, those like reality couples. Yeah. Like Mike and blank her name or whatever for now.
But we'll see, man. We only went on one date. You know, we'll see if there's anything there.
I know.
But I'm there. I'm right there with you.
It's usually the first date where it's like, it's really well, it's good. And then the second date, you're like getting to know each other more. And then the third day is when you really determine, it's like, am I going to keep seeing this person? Or
have you ever done the reverse date?
What do you mean?
This is my tactic. Ugh.
Reverse date?
Yeah. So, for example, let's say you meet a girl, right? And you're not in a relationship mood. You kind of want a friends with benefits thing, right? I find what works is that if I go on a date with a girl, okay, and the first date we escalate,
yeah,
kissing, right? Yeah. Let's say on the first date, like we escalate, and all of a sudden, by the end of the date, me and her are making out. It's like, it's almost to a point where you can tell that if you told her, let's go to my place, she's going to be down.
Right, right.
The reverse date is you don't do it that night.
Yeah, right.
You take her back home.
Right.
You walk her to her door. You make out with her at the door, right?
And then you go.
And then you'd be like, I got to get going. Can we do this again tomorrow? And she's like, yes. You leave. Now you're building that anticipation, right?
Right.
Then you set up another date. I'll pick you up at 8 o'clock at your place. She's like, okay. You pull up. You get out of your car. You knock the door at the very same spot that you guys were like hot and heavy, right? She's going to be kind of getting ready. As soon as she opens the door, you go straight to trying to have sex with her. And then you have sex, and then afterwards you take her out.
Oh. I've never done that.
That's fun. And I don't know. There's something about that that, like, I think psychologically for the woman, it makes her feel less of just an object because you had sex with her, but you like her, and you still took her out.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's kind of like how Sky is giving me signals right
now. Bro, I'm kind of jealous that my cat's all up your ass right now.
Dude, I love cats.
I love cats too, man. Cats are the best. But listen, dude, we gotta close up because I gotta get to North Hollywood by 6 o'clock. One more thing to everybody: if you guys are watching this, or even if you're just listening to the audio later on, this Sunday in Royal Oak, Michigan, Comedy Castle. Get your tickets at comedycastle.com. Would love to have you guys there. We got me, the hilarious Ahmed El Kadri. We have Michael Scherzer, who is a Jewish pro-Palestinian comic. He fights for the Palestinian cause. Yes. He even has a podcast called
The Palestinian Pod.
The Palestine Pod.
The Palestine Pod.
The Palestine Pod that he does with the Palestinian co-host. I don't know what her name is though. It's a podcast that blew up, and a lot of Arabs love him and respect him. A lot of my Palestinian friends were excited to know that he's hosting the show.
How many downloads? I'm gonna just check right now.
You just check. I don't know,
because I know it blew up even more recently.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah,
because I think it's an amazing thing when you have somebody like Michael Scherzer, who comes from this Jewish background, who's supposed to be pro-Zionist, but he's smart enough to be like, no, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You know? So we have him. He's hilarious. I love having him there. We also have our friend Edhem.
Yes.
Edhem, who's from my hometown of Dearborn, Michigan.
Right.
He's going to be there opening for us.
I can't wait for
too.
The green room talk. It's going to be fun. Just pictures, and it's going to be a good night. But yeah, guys, we're going to be in Detroit, Michigan this Sunday, October 9th. Come through. It's going to be really fun.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, dude, this was a fun.
This was good.
This was a fun recording session.
This was good, bro.
Did you guys enjoy this?
I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was really fun, man.
Also, I might do this more often.
Yeah.
Where I go live on Instagram or on TikTok while I'm going live here.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you can go live on multiple streams.
All right, guys. Follow me, Mike from Detroit, on everything. Instagram, Twitter, Pornhub, Mike from Detroit. I'm not on Pornhub. I'm just joking. But you can find me at MikeFromDetroit.com. All my social media links are up there. You can find me on Facebook, on everything. Mike from Detroit. Ahmed loves bread. And yeah.
All right, guys. Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
All right, let me see. Public Yemeni number 1.